I appreciate everybody being here this afternoon. I appreciate you taking your time out of the day to stay. And I know it's getting to be a long, long day. But I really do appreciate everybody being here. A little later on, Miss Terry is going to pass out some little bookmarks. And I want you to know I had the most wonderful help making these. My beautiful granddaughter, Corey, helped me make these. So that'll be a little bit more special for y'all, too. And do you ever wonder why we just keep falling into the patterns of our old ways? We keep falling back into sin over and over and over, even though we say, oh, dear God, please help me. I'm not going to do this. I'm changing. I can do this. But what happens? We fall back into sin again, into our old patterns. The question is, why can't I change? What's wrong with me? Sure, I'm a strong enough person. I have enough willpower to change. And then something happens, and I fall again. What is important in our lives that keeps us from changing? Is it the immediate gratifications you have from life? Is it something that the world offers you more than what Christ can give you? Maybe it's the things that we possess. Maybe it's our things that we just love so much. Maybe it's our pride that keeps us from being strong. Now, we're all going to make mistakes. We're supposed to. We're human. Do we put our children's accomplishments above what God asks us to do? I have. I'll admit it. There's no doubt. We as mothers always do not make really good decisions on what we should let our children do and not do. What in your life demands so much time and effort and your thoughts? Can you pinpoint one thing in your life that might just take up all of your time? Well, I can. My work does. My work takes up all my time. You know, in nature, everything undergoes a change. The leaves fall. The flowers wither. The grass dies. But what doesn't change in our lives? God, He is the same today, yesterday, and He'll be the same forever. And that's in Hebrews 13:8. You know, when we become a new creation in Christ, how does that change us? 2 Corinthians 5:17 states, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. Well, at this point, change, when everything becomes new again, we change. And at that point, it's really a continual, ongoing process. And that process is called sanctification. Miss Ginger, what does sanctification mean?
Set apart.
Very good, that's right. So we become set apart from the world. Now, this process requires all of our cooperation, requires all of our being. You know, we're faced with many issues, struggles, and strives in life. Many hurts of different things that's happened to us in the past, which could possibly hinder us from letting God come into our life and live for Him. And by reading His Word is how we have Christ in our lives. Our choices that we make in life has got to be motivated by truth and love and not by selfishness. Now, I have a hard time with that sometimes because I can be selfish. We all can. But it's our responsibility to take this old things and get rid of them and put on new things. And the only way we can do that is by studying God's Word. If we will submit and study, the old things will pass away. Now, does my behavior, your behavior, let the world see us standing with God or against God? Our attitudes toward others. Do we think sometimes maybe we're just a little bit better than somebody else? By the way we dress, by the places we go, or the movies we see, and it could go on and on and on. Are we setting the right example to others around us? Or does my behavior let Christ stand out and others see him in me? By the way we dress, do I dress appropriate? Am I letting Christ be seen through my dress, my speech, my actions? Sanctification is a detailed part of our salvation. It is our connection with Christ. In Hebrews 1:10, that's what it tells us. Are our thoughts, I'll just say my thoughts are often controlled by emotions. And man, lately have I been on a roller coaster. Whew! I've had more emotions than I've ever had in these past 2 weeks. And dealing with emotions are not fun. They're difficult because they affect every decision that you ever make. They affect your attitude toward others, the way you go to work, what kind of attitude you have when you go to work, the attitude you have around your husband. And mine's been pretty bad lately, but I am working on it. So what we have to do to have our attitudes adjusted is we have to really study, don't we? How do we change our thoughts? Maybe we have to change who we're associated with. Maybe we have to change the places we go, the movies we see, the way we dress, but that's all right. We can make changes. Maybe we all need a new way of thinking. In Matthew 12, 34 and 35, also in 15, 18 through 20, it tells us we need a new way of thinking. Our minds need to be renewed. Paul said in Romans 12, 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect the will of God." Well, what is renewing of your mind? Rejuvenate. Would that describe it? Renewing your mind is to fill it with what God's words say. And we're to let the words of Christ dwell in us richly. Now let's stop for a minute. Now let's just strip off a whole outer self. What do you see? Cindy, what do you see? The person you want to be now?
It's a work in progress.
Right. We strip off our outer self. Do we see the joy of Christ living in us? Do we see this sin, the effects of sin living in us? The Lord can teach us how to change all of that through his words in Hebrews 4:12. The question, how do we renew our minds? Well, I can tell you there's no quick fixes. There's no magic wand and go poof. And your thoughts are pure. Your actions are pure. There's just no quick fixes. It just doesn't work that way. The Lord doesn't erase automatically any of our negative and hateful and sinful thoughts or patterns, no more than he can remove our physical impurities or our physical imperfections. It's a process. It's a continual process. The first thing we must do is fill our minds with God's Word. Sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. John 17:17. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And that's in Colossians 3:16. Okay, so we fill our mind with Scripture. We resist temptation. You remember Joseph, how Potiphar's wife tried to seize him and grab him and tempt him with her body and looks. And what did he do? Boy, he got out of there as fast as he could. So when temptations come, you run away. You get away from it as fast as you can. Where do your thoughts originate? The world or God? In Romans 6:4, I have a newness of life in Christ. In Romans 7:6, I have a newness of spirit. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creation. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's in Romans 12:1-2. Paul said to the Lord's church in Philippi, "Finally, brethren, sisters, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatsoever that is pure, whatsoever that is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things." Philippians 4:8. Now, do we think on those things? I don't always. I admit it. I mean, I do not always. I do not always have pure thoughts. I work on it. I try very hard. But sometimes it's just, you just can't have it. You have to think very negative sometimes. It just happens. I don't know why. But I try daily to get rid of the negative and put in the positive. And the positive is God's word. I like to use this little verse as a test. It's been one of those most useful tools I have ever had, that I've ever even found. And I'm going to share it with you. It's a test that everyone can pass. Everybody can pass this test. I use it many times in different situations. In fact, I don't know of a time that this test hasn't worked for me. Miss Terry, you going to hand out those little things? Okay. On this test, I ask what my thoughts are, what my actions are. Are they true? Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? And is it praiseworthy? Are my thoughts all of these? Not always, but I sure try. These past 2 weeks, this has been really difficult because at work, it's just unbelievable. There's so much strife, and there's so much tension, and there's so much work to do. Everybody is just overworked and underpaid, so everybody complains. And it's hard being around that every day and trying to keep pure thoughts. But this little test, I have it on my desk, and when somebody comes into my cubicle and they want to say, first thing I ask them, is it true? Are you sure it's true? Then I'll ask them, is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Are we going to come in here and talk about somebody and run them down? Because if you're going to do that, I don't have time for it. I don't want to hear negative, ugly things about people. Because there's enough people out in the world that have a lot of ugly things to say. And if we just stop it before it starts and just ask them, is this true? Are you sure it's true? That will stop a lot of unnecessary gossip. Have y'all ever remodeled a house or refinished furniture? It's a nightmare, I can tell you. The first thing you do, we're going to kind of compare this. The first thing you do to redo your mind is you change. But we're going to compare that to remodeling a house. First, you rip out all the old cabinets. You rip out all the old floors. Remove the toilet. Remove the bathtub. New light fixtures. You take everything out. You strip it down. Then, what do? You leave it like that? No. It's a continual process, okay? I don't have any cabinets. We've got to get cabinets. We're going to get new cabinets. So we're putting new in. So we've stripped out the old, and we're replacing it with new. That's kind of the way you have to renew your mind. You take out the old and put in the new. We must develop the mind of Christ. God says we must have the mind of Christ in Philippians 2:5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we find some truth concerning the mind of Christ. Verses 5 and 6, it contrasts the wisdom of man with the wisdom of God. You know, the wisdom of God was once hidden, but now it's revealed to us through His Word. And that's in verse 7. We must guard our minds. God tells us to be watchful. Guard our minds at all times. Be protective. The writer of Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. If we're not guarding our mind, worldly values, purposes, and influence will come in our life. If we allow ourselves to be conformed to this world, that's going to gain control of our life. We've lost control. The world's gained it. We've given it to them. But God has given us the ability to choose what we accept and what we reject. In Matthew 4:1-11, Satan tempted Christ in the wilderness. And each time he replied, it is written. It is written. We have the most powerful weapon in this world. And that's the words of God. Paul said, take unto the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in Ephesians 5:17. Renewing our minds involves one more important factor. Can anybody tell me what that might be? Trust. What does trust mean? To take refuge. It's a stronghold. It's a protector of my heart. This old world throws many doubts, troubles, confusion about anything you can think of to test or challenge our strength and confidence in the Lord. Where do you find your strength? Where do I find my strength? I hope it's in the Lord and not the world. You know, mothers can tell almost all the time if there's something wrong with their children. And I didn't realize that till really my children were grown and they've left home. And I can kind of sense when there's something wrong. Mothers just have that ability. My mother had it. And I resented it. Because she could just tell when there was something bothering me. We went to Mother's one time and we lived in Tennessee. And we made a trip. Of course, HD went fishing. That's what we came for. So he spent his time fishing. Mother would ask me, honey, what's wrong with you? What's bothering you? I would just, nothing. I'm fine. Nothing's bothering me, Mom. Don't ask me anymore. I'm fine. And she would let it go. And she would look at me with those eyes and say, okay, I'm not going to ask you again, but what's wrong with you? And I finally told her, you know, She had told me several years before when we first married, you know, marriage is hard even at its best. Okay. You learn it. It is. You endure. So anyway, I finally told her, I said, Mother, you just don't know how hard it is being a preacher's wife. Let me tell you, it's awful. I never dreamed being married to HD would be so hard. And do you know that everybody watches everything you do? They watch the way you dress, the way you wear your hair. Do you have too much makeup on? Did you dye your hair? They watch what you buy at the grocery store, how much money you spend, and what you spend your money on. I said, I have no privacy. I don't like it. And you know, I told her, I said, you know, I just married HD. Just the man, not the preacher, just a plain old boy, HD. And she said, oh no, Linda. No, no, no. You knew what you were doing when you got married. Now, he's made you a very good husband. He's a very good father. And he loves you. He's a good provider. He's a good Christian man. You chose that. Nobody else chose that for you. You chose it, and you married him. And she looked at me with them big, tender, loving eyes, and she would say, Linda, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Proverbs 3:5-6. She said, not all of your heart, not part of your heart, but all of your heart. Do you trust in the Lord with all of your heart? Is the Lord really your strength? Linda, you rely too much on yourself. You should rely on God. Do you really trust God, Linda? Well, you talk about a low blow. You talk about not happy. She knew just what to say to make me irritable and miserable for the rest of the day. But what did it do? It made me think. And I thought, and the first thought I had, she's not right. Because I do trust in the Lord. But after you think and you study, no, I wasn't putting all of my trust in the Lord. She told me you should not care. No, let me put it this way. You should care more of what God thinks about you and your actions than what anybody else thinks. Do you think about what God is thinking about you, or are you thinking about what others are thinking about you? Well, I just told her, they watch everything I do. So, she had a point, didn't she? I was letting what happen? My trust was gone. I wasn't putting my trust in the Lord. I was listening to the world and others. This conversation, I started to think about how I could trust the Lord more. How I could trust him with really all of my heart and all of my understanding. I knew the word is the heart. It's not the physical heart that pumps the blood through your body. That's not what we're talking about. But it's the center of the mental and your whole spiritual life. Mom called a little bit later. We'd gotten back home, and it had been a while, and Mother hardly ever called. And so, you know, when you say hello, and, well, hi, Linda, what you doing? Hi, sis, honey, how's it going? And you think, why is she calling me? Because she just didn't call. So first thing, what's wrong? Are you sick? Are you in the hospital? What's the matter? Nothing. I just wanted to call and check if you'd figured out what all your heart was liking to have the understanding you needed. Well, there was just total silence on the phone. And she said, Are you there? Linda? Linda? Well, I didn't know what to say. Yeah, I've been studying and studying. But in her kind, little, simple, sweet voice, she said, "Sis, you haven't studied enough." I thought, how can you tell that over the telephone? You can't even see me. And she could tell. That's not fair. That's not right. Mother said, "Linda, you have to study. Then you have to study. Then you have to study. But that's not enough. You still have to study to understand what God wants from you." I told her I had been studying, and I was really working on it. And, you know, I had figured out more than what I knew before, and it was getting there. But it's not anything like where it should be. And I hope someday that I will have the understanding of God's words that she has. Of course, I'm not 96 either. I haven't had that many years to study like she has. But, you know, if I could just have the wisdom she has through God's word, that would be just wonderful. If you really know the kind of understanding God can offer you through study, we would study more and more. Do you think you've studied? Yeah. I go to church every Sunday. I prepare my lesson. I come every Sunday night and I listen to the preacher. I take notes. Maybe I teach ladies' class. Maybe I teach one of the children's classes or the teenage girls' classes. I study. I prepare. I go over the lessons with my children. I study. I have more understanding. I know what he really wants from me. Do we? No, we don't. We just don't. Now, I'm going to ask y'all a question. If you could have one thing to change in your life, what would you change? What would you change? Miss Nancy, what would you change? Oh, me too. Yes, with all this traveling, yes. What would you like changed in your life?
In my life.
Maybe your children.
Oh, yes, definitely that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, all three of them moved away, not just from home, but from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So you want that to change in your life?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's something that we want changed in our life. How do we help change that? Do we just ignore the situation?
What if there's several things?
I'm sorry?
What if there's several things?
It's all right to have several things in your life you want changed. What can you say is the one most important thing that you want changed? I want my spiritual life stronger is what I want changed. Is my spiritual life. Yes, I think I'm good. I try to set the right example. And I've got people fooled pretty good. We all do. But we need to change our spiritual life, our inward thoughts. And how do we do that? How do we change? How do we make changes? Jesse, how do you make changes?
One step at a time.
One step at a time. Doing what?
Figuring out what you want to change first and then working on that specific thing.
Okay. You're working on that change. What's your guide to work on it?
The Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So where do you go to look for changes? Man, I tell you, I have all these different magazines, and I've given some to Kristen, and I've thrown a bunch away. And it's decorating, cooking. How can I change my house? You know, how can I make things look better? I always wanted to change something. Let me tell you what I did one time. We lived in Friona, And HD had to drive 100 miles one way to go fishing. Oh, my goodness. That was a big deal. So while he was gone, he would usually be gone a whole day and come in real late at night, like maybe 2 or 3 o'clock. And he always took a buddy with him. So he'd take the buddy home, and then he'd come in. Well, I was getting very bored at home. Both the kids were asleep, you know, nice, quiet. So I just moved all the furniture around. Moved everything around. I was so sick of it. And I shampooed the carpet, and oh man, my house smelled good, and it looked wonderful. HD comes in, he just walks right in, and I knew he was coming in. I didn't say a word, no word. He goes and takes a shower in the other bathroom so he won't wake me up. He's off. But I was already awake, I was waiting for him to come up. I wanted him to see what I had done. And I made the major changes in this house. Man, I was so proud of him. And you know, after he got in the shower and he got ready to come to bed, he went there to lay on the bed, and there was no bed there. He laid on the floor and flopped on the floor. And he said, "Lanza!" And I had the switch, and I just flipped the light on, and I said, "Yeah, what?" He said, "What are you doing over there? The bed's over here." He doesn't like change. Needless to say, he wasn't just real happy with the way I rearranged the furniture that night. So I said, you know, you go off fishing and leave me with the kids screaming and crying all the time, at least once a week, and I'll never get out of this house. I always have the kids with me. He says, "Okay, I'll make a deal with you. If you won't change the furniture around the next time I go fishing, I'll keep the kids one day and you can get out." So he did keep the kids. And I did get out. But the next time he went fishing, I changed things around in the living room. No, you know, change is important in our life. It's a hard thing to do, I'm telling you, because I work at it every day. And, man, I go to bed at night and I think, what more can I do to make my life happier and easier? And it's always the same thing. Study. What else do you need to do to improve your life? Study. It's all right there in His Word to tell us how we can be happy. It's right there. All we have to do is read and study it. Ladies, have you studied? Glenda, have you studied? Have you studied enough to make changes? Yeah? I know Laverne has taught many lady classes from Beeville. Her mother have been best friends forever. And I've seen them studying together. And I thought, don't you have anything else better to do? Look here. I need a new dress. Mother and Laverne would be over there studying. You know. And this is when we were little. And her children and all of us were friends, and we went places together, we did things together, but it was always Bible-centered. I can't always say that about my family. And with HD's family, it was not always Bible-centered. It was far from it. But I want my family to be Bible-centered. Now, I know Kristen studies with her children because Corey and Chase tell me. And she has these little charts and different things up that she studies with them. You know she studies with them because they're learning. And they're telling me what they learn. Grandma, did you know this? And you think, where'd you learn that? No, it's not just little bitty things. It's pretty detailed Bible study. So, you know, I can tell you, change is not easy. But if you want to change bad enough and you want to live the life Christ wants you to live, you've got to study. You've got to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, because when we lean to our own understanding, what are we doing? We're leaving Christ out. If you really want to know what God wants from you, It's easy. He offers it to you. And it's in His Word. We can know everything, everything that can make you happy in your life through His Word. It may take some studying and changing, but we can do it. I want to close with this thought. What doth Jehovah thy God require of thee but to fear God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all thy heart and all thy soul? And that's in Deuteronomy 10:12, also 11:13. What does God require of thee but to fear God, to walk in His ways? Mother. Hey, Grandma. So God requires of you to fear Him, to walk in His ways, to love Him, and to serve Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. That's my final thoughts. I appreciate y'all's attendance. And thank you so very much. And you're dismissed.